Will the brand new Panama Canal make the gap between rich and poor in that country worse or better? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. But first, the Federal Reserve, which has been pushing the biggest banks to the breaking point. On paper, at least, there's news 31 of 33 passed a new round of stress tests, suggesting the banks are cushioned enough if and when things go terribly wrong. From the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman is following this. Mitchell, why two rounds of testing?
First, to remind everyone, the Fed implemented these stress tests after the financial crisis, and that was to make sure that in the future, big banks have enough capital and also proper risk management to survive a severe recession. Now, in the first round, the Fed found that all 33 big banks had enough capital to pass. In the final round, the Fed said that 31 of the 33 can now go ahead and make cash distributions to shareholders. That's in the form of dividends and share buybacks. And that matters because bank stocks have been in the doldrums with Brexit and all the rest, and shareholders want to see returns on their investment. The U.S. operations of Deutsche Bank and Banco Santander got failing grades, and that means their U.S. profits will be bottled up in the U.S. for a while.
Mitchell, thank you. Now, in early trading today, the FTSE index in London, the Dow and the S&P 500 were up in the 0.2% range. The NASDAQ composite index was pretty flat, though. Currencies, the pound is at $1.34 today. That's a penny weaker from yesterday. Panama, in the news this week for the opening of its new expanded canal, is a GDP success story. It had twice the average economic growth over the last 15 years as other countries in the region. Thank the canal, thank its Singapore-style hub for financial services, and its Dubai-style duty-free zone. But it's still a country with grinding poverty. I traveled to Panama to report that canal story, but I was struck by the uncomfortable contrasts.
My neighborhood is a community of resistance here in the city. It's a community that has held on to its customs in spite of the government, past and present, that has tried to take away what little we have.
That's Jessica Solis, a resident of Boca La Caja, a former fishing village now embedded in Panama City. It's a cluster of low working-class houses fed by streets where the pavement is either non-existent or cratered and lined with garbage the city, for some reason, is not picking up. Solis is a social worker who also arranges for extra meals for local kids in the small open-air public space.
I wanted to do more than just give these children a plate of food. I wanted to give them another vision of what life can look like, a vision of progress.
Solis is also fighting to stay in Boca La Caja, where, as she sees it, real estate developers are dangling low offers for property here to get residents to sell and be gone. It's potentially prime real estate. Just across a wall is the ritziest shopping complex I've seen this side of Beverly Hills. Yet on this side of the wall, kids looking for something to do play stickball with the carcass of a crow.
Sometimes with these things, you try not to think about it, not because you don't want to think about the problem, but because economic inequality is a problem at the national level.
A World Bank assessment emphasized recent progress in narrowing the divide between rich and poor here. But a CIA analysis notes Panama has the second worst income distribution in Latin America. Quote, strong economic performance has not translated into broadly shared prosperity. A few blocks north of struggling Boca La Caja is the neighborhood of San Francisco, where we find this Panamanian.
Muy buenas tardes. Me llamo Hilary Hughes. Vivo en San Francisco, Panama.
Hilary Hughes Winstead is raising two young kids. Her husband is an executive at an organic juice company. We're on a high floor of an apartment building with middle-class residents. She grew up in the old canal zone, formerly run by the Americans, and was in ninth grade when the U.S. turned the canal over to Panama in 1999.
You just need to drive around Panama to see so much money. I mean, it's just so much money. Like, today, behind my car, there was a Ferrari. I'm like, what? I mean, you know, like, just driving in Panama City. And you would think that the government would find ways to apply all that cash flow
But it's the gap toward the lower income end that she finds much more disturbing.
First of all, our education is like horrible, and it needs to be shaken up. It needs to be shaken up, and it needs to be injected with lots of money.
Panamanian officials agree that Panama's income distribution is a blight. Here's Panama's Vice Minister of the Economy, Ivan Zarac.
For 2016, we're expected to be the fastest growing economy in Latin America. But once you actually go to one of those communities and you see what those communities are living, then it becomes shocking, you know, that there's, you know, so much prosperity in one part of the country, and then at the same time, there's a misery in other parts of the country.
Roberto Eisenman, founder of the Panamanian daily La Prensa, also finds the inequalities here disturbingly entrenched, but he's been doing some creative thinking.
I gave an idea the other day that's sort of a crazy idea. The government of Panama is spending about $1.5 billion on education. And we're not getting a good education. The canal, after the expansion, should make a net profit of $1.5 billion. I would like to see 100% of the profits of the canal go into education.
Officials told us that the canal proceeds now get dumped into the pool that is the Panama Treasury, where elected officials decide how all the public money is spent. Eisenman's idea would only lift education standards, he says, if the schools getting the canal money also get reformed, something he's working on through a nonprofit.
If the canal is going to write a check, who is the canal going to write the check to? So that's the big question. Obviously, the way our organization for education is today, it's not working.
At this point, dedicating canal profits to schools is really a thought experiment and not a concrete policy proposal. But the idea does suggest a way that through education, the new expanded Panama Canal might someday end up lifting even more boats. In addition to our Panama Canal and peak trade coverage accumulating at marketplace.org, tomorrow we'll look at why so many Panamanians wish we'd stop referring to the Panama Papers. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.